Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from Jonah chapter 3 in the Black Pew Bibles. That's page 917. So Jonah chapter 3. Jonah goes to Nineveh. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather once again, Lord, to praise you, Lord, and to learn and to glorify you, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you come and dwell among us, Lord, tonight, today. Let us open our hearts and minds, Lord. May we take instruction from your word, and may we lift up our praise to you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I believe still is the law of California that if someone breaks the law once, twice, the third strike means automatically remains in prison, or I don't know exactly the details, but that law over there gives them at least 2 chances. The third is not a chance anymore, as the result of disobedience or breaking the law. And in the book of Jonah, we see a story that is so different than the other books of the Old Testament. In the lives of the other prophets of the Old Testament, you only hear what God spoke to the people through the mouths of the prophets. But when it comes to Jonah is not the same. Jonah is asked to go and speak to the city of Nineveh, and yet the message is so short. But his life is recorded in the book of Jonah. Jonah had refused to obey God when God had called him to go to the city of Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Assyrian Empire, actually, just to give you the geographical point or area, is in Iraq today. So that's where Nineveh is and still is, that area. Jonah rebelled. Instead of going to Nineveh, he boarded a ship going to Tarshish. Tarshish and Nineveh represented the opposite ends of the commercial sphere in ancient times. Tarshish is in Spain. Jonah ran away from God, but he could not hide from God. No matter where he went, God was there. I don't know about you, but in my youth, I've tried to cover up some things, and for a moment I thought no one will know, but then I realized God knew and I knew, and because God knew and I knew, I was restless and I didn't really care how much I prayed. As long as I did not make peace with God, I would still feel miserable. And that reminds me of the story of David. Now David had broken God's law. David should have known better. David sent his soldiers to go and fight a war, and he stayed home, and he became idle. Idleness gets us into trouble very often. And for 1 year he suffered because he disobeyed God. Here we see Jonah trying to run away from God. As David was hiding from God or covering up his sin. And both of them had to deal with reality. When the ship was about to sink because of him, the terrified sailors threw him overboard where he was about to drown. But God wasn't finished with him yet. God sent a great fish and swallowed Jonah, and 3 days later vomited him upon the dry ground. Last Sunday, talking about this fish, the great fish, and how Jonah found shelter in there, I said that many people, even believers, even Protestants, will say, well, this was only an example, it's not a true story. And I checked some people's comments. What do they say about the fact that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish? And they all had their own stories, justifications, how big that place was, how much oxygen there is, and it is possible to live in a place with a little oxygen, if you, and all kinds of explanations. And I thought about it, I prayed a little bit, and I shared this with you, and I'm going to tell you what happened after last Sunday. And I said, come to think of it, I know Wendy is pregnant, and Wendy is going to bring a baby to this world. When, Wendy? 3 weeks. Now, for 3 weeks, this little baby is not breathing. Do babies breathe in the month? Any nurse here? No, they don't. They breathe? No. Please, a nurse, a doctor. They can't breathe. They live, they're alive, but they don't breathe. So, my wife is explaining what happens. And I said, if a baby can survive for 9 months, 7 months in the belly of a mother without breathing, so what's the big deal? And people say, well, that's a miracle. Well, I say, that is a big miracle with Jonah. God who created the fish, God who created Jonah, could have them deal with this natural stuff. And after the service, there was a Muslim gentleman who had come. Here, he's not here this morning. He came for the first time. And then I sat down and we were discussing the message and everything else, life and faith. He said, sir, to be honest with you, I've heard the story of Jonah many times. You know, Muslims, it's in the Quran. It's a little different. And he said, for the first time in my life, I understood how can this happen with the example that you gave about the little baby in the mother's womb. So God uses all kinds of situations. So here we have Jonah now in that big fish. It's not a whale. It's a big fish, the Bible says. Very clear in the Bible. And Jonah, for a moment, thinks, I'm done. I'm finished. And yet God says otherwise. When the ship was about to sink, he found himself in the sea. But before he drowned, God sent a fish, and the fish saved his life. Chapter 3 starts this way. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. A second time, God speaks to him. No wonder why the book of Jonah has been called the gospel of the second chance. Jonah, a prophet of God, had intentionally disobeyed God and tried to run away from God. And now, let's see what happened to Jonah finally, when Jonah finally obeyed God. Before we look into what happened, let's just stay for a moment about the second chance God gave him. God does not always give second chances. God very often gives 100 chances. But sometimes God only gives one order, and when you disobey that order, you pay for the consequences. A good example is Adam and Eve. He told them not to eat from that tree, and they ate. And when he came to them, he didn't say to them, well, this was the first thing, the first time, I forgive you. Don't do it next time. He didn't say that. Because God is a holy God, and he wants us to obey him and not disobey his command. Ananias and Sapphira, they lied a little lie. They didn't tell a complete lie. It was the half-truth, and yet they paid with their life. On the other hand, you have Peter, who denied the Lord Jesus, and he was forgiven. And when they asked Jesus, how many times should we forgive? He said, forever, 70 times 7 or 7 times 70. God not only forgave the repentant Jonah, but he once again called him to the very ministry he had been offered in the first place. Jonah was asked to go to Nineveh to preach. This was not going to be an easy job. The Ninevites worshipped the fish god and called Dagon, and they apparently knew what had happened to Jonah. Now, what I'm going to say, it's not that I read from someone's comment or it's in the Bible, but I thought to myself yesterday, if they worship the fish god, it makes a lot of sense to me that when they heard the story that Jonah was swallowed by the fish and then he survived, to say, well, our God spared his life. It's not in the Bible, please. I'm just saying it. It would make a lot of sense that they would say, let's listen to him. But on the other hand, I believe God was preparing their hearts. God was giving them a second chance, because I'm sure they had heard of God. The message of God had come to that area very many times. The Garden of Eden was in that area. Then we see the ark, the Noah's ark landing there. And then we see all kinds of, that's where Abraham came out from. And so I'm sure these people had heard at least a little bit about God and about the holiness of God, and they had turned their backs away. And now God gives them a second chance because God gave Jonah a second chance. And when we respond to our second chances, then God will bless us. I mean, Peter had blown that chance the first time when he denied it, and he said, I never know him. I don't know him. I've never been with him. And yet when he confessed his sin and accepted the challenge, he became such a blessing. And once again, we see the greatness of the grace of God. When a disobedient believer returns to God wholeheartedly, as Jonah did, God forgives and gives the person another chance. Jonah now obeys the second call and approaches the great city, 60 miles around, 600,000 people, with walls 100 feet high and about 25 feet wide. Once again, I said I was trying to figure out, I'm a little bit technically minded and I know buildings, and I said, my goodness, 25 feet wide. That's a lot of bricks. That is a lot of stones. And that is a lot of manpower to build that 100 feet tall, 25 feet wide. They felt so secure. And then, but yet, God was about to destroy them. Well, I believe the same thing may happen in our families. We build this hedge around our families. And we feel that we are secure. We have now life insurance, we have house insurance, we have car insurance, we have what insurance? All kinds of insurance for our computers, insurance for our telephones, insurance for everything. So we feel great. And then we have a medical insurance in Quebec. We feel sort of so good and secure. And yet, the enemy is in the walls. The enemy could be sickness, it could be disagreements, it could be marital problems, and it's about to be destroyed. The family is about to destroy it until we respond to the call and respond to the second chance. There was no preparatory committee, no radio or TV or PA systems. And again, I thought of the second crusade we had. The first, I've been on the committee, executive committee for both of our crusades in Montreal. But the second one, when we invited Billy Graham to come, or at least the city invited Billy Graham to come, they asked me to be the chairman, temporary chairman, until a French person took over. So we started 1 year and few months before that day planning. The committee spent about $1 million and more to prepare. We had 12 all kinds of systems, sound systems, cameras, all kinds of activities for 1.5 years almost. I had to get up once every 2 weeks to go to a meeting at 6 o'clock in the morning because there were many businessmen. And we planned, and I'm saying, here, Jonah, how are you going to do it? 600,000 people you're going to preach to, and you will bring them a short message, and you don't even have a crew or a group to help you. How are you going to do it? And I realized that what God was doing was using this little Jonah to demonstrate his power in the lives and hearts of people who respond to his message. People were preoccupied with all kinds of sinful activities. And so Jonah once again thought, now how am I going to go to the nightclubs? Or how they're having orgies there. How am I going to preach to them? Look at the king and his, how can I ever even cross those walls? How? And he nevertheless realized that if God gave him a second chance and freed him from the belly of the fish, must have a plan of his own. And he obeyed. Obviously, Jonah was a good preacher and his experience was very fresh. Jonah preached a message that would have been considered today a negative and politically not correct message. Believe it or not, if Jonah had done that today, he would have been arrested and imprisoned for inciting riots or something, for doing something terrible. The message was simple and to the point. He did not add to it, change, or remove from it. He was the messenger and not the message. That is something I thought about a lot and prayed. He was the messenger and not the message. I believe today, people are not interested as much about the message as they are interested about the messenger. He is such a gifted man. He has a beautiful voice. He captivates your heart. She is so good-looking preacher. She has a way of delivering her message. He does this. She does that. We do that. And at the end, the message is lost. There is no more message left because the messenger emphasizes his or her background or credentials or thoughts or doctrines or arguments or things. And if Jonah had done that, no one would have been saved. The message was simple and to the point. He did not add to it, change, or remove from it. He was the messenger. Messenger, not the message. He preached a message of coming judgment. People say today, don't talk about hell in the church. Why? Because people are being turned off. They will leave the church. They'll never come back. Your congregation will go down. Well, what is the sense of preaching if there is no warning? Why is the doctor there only to say, oh, you're doing well, everything is fine? You feel it fine, but when you're going to the doctor to tell you what the problem is. And in the past few weeks, 4 weeks, I've had some problems with my mouth, like, I don't know if anyone else has, burning tongue and cheek problem. I read a lot, I went to the doctors, and they said, well, you know what, could be this, could be that. But I got to listen, I have to know the truth, no matter what it is, why. And if someone would say, don't worry about it, and I come home and I'm still having problems, what do you mean, don't worry about it? I'm feeling the effects. I want a doctor or someone to tell me what to do. So that's how it was with these people. They actually did not know that they were about to be burned to death or destroyed to death until the message from God came and said, if you continue that way and if you do not repent, you'll be destroyed in 44, 43, 42, 41, and the countdown already had started. And the moments were ticking away. And Jonah wasn't even sure what's going to happen. He preached a message of coming judgment, a message of limited opportunity, 40 days left. A message that was plain, powerful, and personal. I've heard people say, well, I'm not going to that church anymore. Why? Because it's not, you know, it's too simple. I mean, I can read the Bible, I know. Well, that's exactly what God wants us to listen to hear His simple message. His message was short, but to the point. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned, destroyed. I'm sure Jonah was very surprised with the results. An awesome revival took place. The people believed God. The Bible says the people believed God, not him, God. Because what they heard, they knew already that was coming from God. As a matter of fact, not only they believed, but they repented. They, and I quote verse 5, they declared their fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Even the king believed God. And I quote, he rose from the throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. For a moment I thought our prime minister or premier listening to a message like that and doing the same thing. No way. They will justify it. They will say it was the corrupt previous government. It is the corruption of this. And I am doing my best. But here the king admitted that he was a sinner and he needed salvation. But the king did not stop there. He issued a proclamation in Nineveh, asking for ordering all citizens to do the same thing. The decree said, let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Now, this was not a guaranteed thing that they were not going to be punished. That's why I suppose King says, who knows? Maybe God will have mercy on us. I've heard people who say, pray for me, Pastor, for my healing. And I say, when I say, I will pray for God's will, they don't like it. They don't agree with me. They say, God said, ask and will be given. You ask and He has to give it. Give me that because He has promised. No one can order God to do what He is only willing to do. Who are we to tell God how to deal with our situation? We only ask for His grace, His mercy, and we tell Him what our request is. There's nothing wrong in asking exactly what we think we need, only to conclude if it is your will. Now the rest is history. There was a great revival. The entire nation turned away from their evil ways. They changed from sinning people to praying people. And God heard their prayers and spared their city from destruction. Just in case someone may misunderstand this as God changing His mind and His plans depending on the circumstances, let me say that divine warnings of immediate judgment are conditional. This principle is very clear in the Bible. We read in Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 7 and 8, and in 2 Chronicles 7, 14, two examples. If, and I quote Jeremiah 18, 7 and 8. If at any time I announce, God is saying this, if at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warn repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on the disaster I had planned. Also in 2 Chronicles 7:15, I've quoted this verse many times. If my people who are called by my name, that is, we call Christians, right, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. In the case of Nineveh, God did not change His mind, though it may even seem that way to some. The real change was in the heart of the people of Nineveh. That's where the change was, not in God. The same thing happens when the human heart hears the word of God and the warnings, and repents and asks Christ to take over his or her life. God said, sin brings death. The wages of sin is death. That is not if. No, it's for sure. And yet, the Bible says, Jesus said, come to me and I'll give you rest. He who believes will be saved. And there are all kinds of promises for those and to those who will repent from their evil ways. The same thing happens when a human heart changes, as happened in Nineveh. Jesus not only affirms Jonah's life as a historical fact, but He goes even further by using it to speak of His death and resurrection, and also as a warning to those who would reject Him. And I quote His words, Matthew 12, verses 38 to 41. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to Him, Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from heaven. He answered, A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now, if Jonah is a lie, if Jonah was not is not the truth, then Jesus also is lie. And I can't see any Christian, any pastor, and I met pastors who said, one particular one, and I've mentioned this many times, said, I don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, I don't believe in Jonah being 3 days in the belly of a fish, and yet he believes in Jesus Christ, and he is called Christian pastor. How could that happen when Jesus himself is quoting Jonah? Well, at least quoting and saying, we quote Jesus talking about Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The man of Nineveh will stand up, and the judgment will with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. The Ninevites heard one sermon from one preacher, and yet they repented and turned to God. What about all those who hear many messages for many years and refuse to repent and turn to God? Certainly there will be the greatest condemnation. And I know of people who are not sure about their salvation. They think they cannot accept the Lord. They think that they cannot commit their lives to Christ. They think they are good enough Christians. They think this, they think that. And yet it's very clear that Jesus is the only door, the only way, the only salvation. The story of Jonah gives hope and a chance to anyone who has walked away from God and His will, but is willing to return to God like Jonah. Or to those who hear God's message so many years and have refused and have not asked for forgiveness. And when they hear, they must respond as Nineveh did. So there are two examples. The example of Jonah, who disobeyed God and ran away from God and disobeyed God, and yet when he was given a second chance, he responded to it and he was blessed for that. And also we have the example of Nineveh, who had not received God, who had rejected God, who had never made a commitment to God. When they heard the message, they responded and they accepted the message, and they were spared. Their city, their lives, and eternity was open to them. May God help each one of us to know where we are. Are we like Jonah, or we are like Nineveh? And if we are like Jonah, then it's not too late to receive him. If we are like Nineveh and we have never received him, now is the right time to respond to the message. But to all of us who have received Jesus, who have been washed in his blood and by his blood, and who are now a member of the family of God, it is time for us to look around us and see if there are any Ninevehs where we are, and spread the good news. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for being so loving, so kind, so compassionate. The example of Jonah and Nineveh are good examples for us to look at, and not only say, oh, good story, but to adopt the principles of these two situations. And Father, we thank you for being with us. Thank you for guiding us, protecting us. Now be with each one of us and protect us from evil temptations and attacks. In your blessed name I pray, amen.